Now, this is an interesting thing. Now, I have two things on my mind. I'm not very sure of which one I should start with today. So you know what I'm going to do? We'll read the text scriptures that control both of them. And then when we finish reading, I will know which one I should talk about. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, so I can't tell you this is what I want to talk about, but I just want to continue what we have been talking about concerning the advancement, the increase of the kingdom of God, the fact that we have our part to play, and without us, there is really nothing that God can do concerning increasing his kingdom on the earth. And that's what I want to pick up from. Okay, let's read first of all from Daniel. Okay, we'll read about three portions. Let's take our time and read them. We'll start from the book of Daniel, chapter 12. Now, what Daniel was talking about there is, that section is long, but I need just a small bit of it. Because I like to take in context, I would have loved to read much longer, but it's really, really long. I don't have an easy place to break it. So I'll just read from verse 1 and then end in verse 3, even though what I want is in verse 3. Now, he said, now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. An angel was giving a message to Daniel. And there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake. These to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Now, please notice verse 3 carefully. It said, those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. I want you to notice something here in verse 3. The Lord said, there are people, he was talking about those who will arise and talking about people that God will reward in that last time. He said, there are those who have insight. They will shine brightly, like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who lead the many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. I want to quickly say that I do not think that he was saying there are two groups of people here. I think what he was saying is that the people who have insight, the people who will shine like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, these are the people who will shine like stars forever and ever. They are the same people because of the insight that they have that they will lead many to righteousness. Are you getting what I'm going to explain here? That it wasn't just saying that some will have insight and some will lead many to righteousness. No. Those who have insight, they will lead many to righteousness. I'm not bringing an issue here. You see that the Bible, the Lord Jesus told us that we are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. When we're explaining about the meaning of this, I said that there are two sides to it when it comes to our involvement in advancement of the kingdom of God. First of all, our first assignment is not to preach to others, is to make sure that we remain pure. In the last five sessions or so, I've been talking about that extensively. The challenge of this season is for us to remain unstained by the iniquity that is in the world. The challenge of this season is to do things differently from how the people of the world will do them. If you are running your business, there is a Christian way to run your business. Let me just say it again. The primary thing is not, I must make profit. No, that's not the primary thing. That is secondary. In fact, profit is just one of the ways by which you check whether the business is doing well. The primary thing about doing business is that I must do righteousness. Your duty is to establish righteousness, first in your own life and around you as much as it depends on you. It is not your first assignment to make sure you make money. The first assignment is make a good name. A good name is better, all right? He said better is a poor man that walks in his integrity than that one that has plenty of silver and gold. A good name is better, the Bible says. We're not going to talk about that now further. So first of all, you need to establish a, in quote, reputation of God in the things that you are doing. He said God was the fear of Isaac. Everything that Isaac did was permeated by the fear that he had for God. Then secondly, you are there to teach people the right way to doing things. So the first thing you do is to ensure that you are doing things the Christian way. If you are running a family, the first thing is to ensure that you are running it the Christian way. If you are running a ministry, it's going to be funny when I say this, the first thing you ensure, you are running the ministry the Christian way. Because it is... I don't blame you for laughing. Because... The truth is that some people run it the worldly way. They run it. Do you get my point? Sometimes people do it. There are things that people do that are not, I mean, a lot of people run ministry using principles that are taught by businessmen. That's not what we are talking about. You mustn't do that. You must run your ministry the way of righteousness. That's the first thing. So remaining pure in this polluted generation is the primary assignment of the believer. I'd like to quote this again and again. This will be like the seventh time I'm quoting it, or the sixth time. David Paulson said, what God wants in this nation, and what God wants in this nation and in this generation, more than anything else, is a holy people who are pure and blameless, and who can prove that you can live in this world a clean, upright, and decent life. The thing that God wants more from his church is not that they do something, but that they should be something. It is the being that is more important than the doing. God is not looking first of all for an evangelizing people or people who are serving. He is looking first of all for a holy people who will represent his holiness in the world and shine like stars in a dark and dim world. That's the most important thing. So that we have looked at that. Now, having established that, now that is the salt aspect. Now, I want to go into the next aspect now. Like I said, there are two things I want to say today. I don't know which one of them should come first. All right? But let me start with this one that we are in now, the issue of light. Now, remember when he said that you are the light of the world? This was what he was trying to say, and that's what I'm trying to pick from that issue of Daniel. And in fact, before I read further, let me read something else. Now, open your Bibles quickly, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Now, this is one portion of the scriptures that we all know very well. So, I'll just quickly dive into the verse that I need without giving much of a preamble concerning it. The Lord Jesus was speaking here in verse 18. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He now said in verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20 says, what's the first word in verse 20 in your Bible? Say it loud. Teaching. Say it again. Teaching. All right, my own Bible uses the word teaching like most of yours, all right, do. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. The word is teaching, not preaching that to them, but to be careful to take time out to explain and persuade people concerning what I have commanded you to do. He said you are to teach them concerning all that I have commanded you to do. Now, why did I read this? I wanted to bring out the issue, the assignment that we have as believers when it comes to advancement of the kingdom of God. Let me say something to us. I said it many times before. God doesn't expect us to force ourselves, struggle to get results. What he has done is to teach us what it is that we are supposed to do. Now this, he gives us some simple instructions to follow. Then when we follow that, he will now advance his kingdom. Now let me say something here again so that we Christians understand. There's a completeness to the ministry of the advancement of God's kingdom as witnesses. That's not just about declaring to people give your life to Christ. It's beyond that. What is more important to God is that we make disciples of people. He said in verse 19, go therefore and make disciples. What are disciples? Disciples are students. Disciples are not those who heard the word once, do you understand? And then they said the answer an altar call, I have given my life to Christ and I'm a Christian. That was not what God said. In fact, I was listening to a man of God. He said the word Christian was not used by the church. It was the way the world described, you know, what we and I call Christians now. Actually, what the church used for Christians were disciples. They were believers, two words used, believers and disciples. And believers means the believing one. People who have made a habit of believing. That is their life. It's not I believed once. I gave my life to Christ it's interesting. I'll give my life to Christ in 1992 or 1991 or 1985 or the year 2010. It's beyond that. Your life of faith is a continual thing. The day you gave your life to Christ, according to you, was the day you began a process. And that process is what is important, not that day. That you are continually believing. So believers are those who are always believing. They are not those who believed in 1985. They are not those who believed in 2001. They are people who are continually believing. All right? And they are disciples. What does it mean to be a disciple? Like I said, they are students. There are people that are, and you see, the ministries, we have to be very, very careful. A lot of churches are established on what doesn't make disciples. Do you understand? Disciples are people who are learning. They are trying to adapt their lives to the method of Christ. Like Jesus said here, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, not teaching them to pray against their enemies so all of them will die. I'm sorry I keep on saying these things, because it's a problem in today's Christianity. The idea is teach them to observe everything that I have commanded you. I was listening to David Paulson analyze the book of Matthew. He said that it was a manual for discipleship. That you see, the messages of Jesus were divided into five parts. That was written by a Jew. So he used the pattern of the books of Moses, all right? Into, you know, five parts. So he divided it into five parts. I'm not going to discuss that now. Just that I learned it. I listened to him over the last few weeks anyway, all right? Now, what am I trying to say? If the kingdom of God is going to advance, we have a responsibility to teach people the gospel. Let me say this to you, and I want to say this about the kingdom of God. There's sub-specialization in the body of Christ. What I mean is this. You've left everything you have to do now to come and listen to me this evening. Do you know why? Because I am called to teach in this capacity. You recognize that call. Maybe you have listened to me a number of times. It has affected you. So you came back again. Now, there are those who are called to do something else. Some, you know, the Rehan Bunkies, they are out there. There are those who, their duties as believers is to go to the marketplace. You know, when I say marketplace, now, not just literal market, but businesses, all right, every other place, academia, entertainment, stuff like that. There are different aspects. But having said that, all of us actually do the same thing. What I mean is this. Even though you are not called into my kind of ministry, God actually has given you an assignment to teach in your own area. For example, if you are the head of a family, you must teach the household. You don't send them to Sunday school. I don't know what I can say. I'm not saying Sunday school is wrong. I'm just saying that that is not the primary place where they learn the word of God from. They are supposed to learn it from the father and from the mother at home. If you have charge over any group of people, now you have to get this in context, okay? You actually have a responsibility to explain the precepts of the kingdom to such people. And that is how the kingdom of God actually advances. The mistake we make as Christians is we want to live, you know, Jesus said, you will be witnesses. Now, what are witnesses? Witnesses are those, not just who tell people to believe. They are those who witness something, all right? And they tell other people that I was there. A witness simply says, this is what God did in my life. That's what a witness is. Now, as Christians, what we are supposed to do is to testify. That's why, you know, if you've read the story of Who Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International, that's their story. The idea was that each businessman is supposed to come and explain what God has done in his life. And that's, okay, I like the story of the man himself, Demos Shakarian. One of the things that God did for him was to, he was very successful in farming. I know there are different ways by which God leads. You know, I've said it before. Now I'm about to digress. You can't really put God in a box. You can't. I read some principles of leading that we teach in Word of Faith and Pentecostal Circles. I said, no. He said, no, God doesn't lead like this. I said, don't say that. Because if you meet people that God has led like that, everything I said, they'll be looking at you. Do you know how I got to where I am today? That's what they'll be looking at you. Because his father, when they came over from Armenia, his grandfather came over from Armenia. Demos Shakarian's father was a little boy when they came to Armenia, when they came to the United States. And what happened was that the father, they were struggling. God had promised to prosper them, but they were not seeing the prosperity. So they were really, really struggling. So his father one day now went to church, to their community of believers, and said, listen, pray for me. So they prayed and prayed and prayed. This is how I was talking about the leading of the Spirit. They now opened the Bible. That's how they used to do their own leading. Just open their Bible and put their finger somewhere and read what is there. Now, those of us who've learned the word of faith, now we won't try that ever. And I personally think it's a very silly way to get the leading of the Spirit as a habit. God actually has walked through such things at different times. But in this case, the man reading said, the Bible said, blessed shall you be in the field. The man closed it and said, you should be a farmer. Do you know the man took the word literally and became a multimillionaire? He left where he was working and went and started selling. He found out that where they were living, they couldn't get fresh farm produce around. Most of the farm vegetables they had were stale. So he said, good, this is good business. So he started the process of selling vegetable products, fresh vegetables. From there, he went into dairy farming. That's it. After some time, the man became very, very wealthy. Like I said, when it comes to the leading of the Spirit, the most important thing is a heart that is prepared. The most important thing is a heart that is renewed. The most important thing is a heart that's always been transformed by the Word of God. That is the most important thing. Now, when that is in place, God now uses different methods, and you will get used to how God leads you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, having said that, now, why did he start Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International? That's what I was getting to. He, taking over from his father, Demo Shakarian, now took that, continued the business with his father and took it over. He was very successful in getting what they call prized bulls. You know what I mean is this. You know, everything, those things are genetic. Which animal can produce a lot of milk and which animal will be strong? So they believe that the genes, the traits are transmitted down in the genes. Now, how do you now identify the animal that is good? One, that has strong genes, and two, that can transmit it. So they have specialists who will be doing analysis for you. And they come to fairs where they are selling those animals, the bulls, of course, the males, all right? Those ones will now be taken to their farms to fertilize the females there. Some of them are highly priced, some of them are priced low, depending on what the experts think. Demo Shakarian never used any expert. There was a special manifestation of the Holy Spirit he had. Once he's walking down the stalls, he's looking at the animals. Suddenly, a light will shine on one. He's the only one that will see the light. As if the animal begins to glow. So he will just point to, I want that one. He will pay for it. Sometimes it is cheap. Sometimes it is expensive. But once the animal begins to glow, he will pay for it. And when he started Full Gospel Business Fellowship International, that's how he used to know who to call to speak. You just look over the audience, then one person will just start glowing. Only he will see it. You just say, you, sir, please, can you come and share your testimony? And the person will have something to say to bless everybody. Now, so along the line, people will now ask him, they notice that, listen, this man, his life is not normal. They call him one day and say, you have a secret advisor that you don't tell us about. Somebody is telling you something, and you're not telling us who it is. Do you understand? And of course, initially, he said, no, no advisor. Then he realized, no, actually, I have an advisor. Who's the advisor? It is God who made the cattle on 1,000 hills. Of course, that would be the beginning of his witnessing. Do you understand my point? Now, I want to say something to us as believers. Preaching, sometimes my wife will tell me that time, maybe because she's Pastor Banky's wife, occasionally she gets invited to come and speak somewhere. She'll now say, hey, what am I going to say? I said, you don't have to say anything in quotes. Don't settle down to prepare, I will say this, I will say that. I said, just tap my anointing. I said, this is what you do. Just go there. My advice is to her for a number of reasons. If you're a preacher, you may use your own differently. But because she's my wife, and as at now, I don't know about next year, as at today, she doesn't have the call to central ministry like I have, all right? I don't know about next year. So in case you now find out preaching later, say, but your first one say you are not called. I didn't say so. I just said, okay. You know, you won't find my wife's face all over the posters, women conference, see her, prophetess, Banky. No, I beg go. I beg go. Spare her for now. The Lord is good, though. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Your husband is a pastor. Does not mean you are a preacher. Do you understand my point? It's not automatic. In the scriptures, most prophets, there are a few. Isaiah's wife was a prophetess. Yeah, if you read the Bible, you find Isaiah's wife was a prophetess. Okay? The number of prophets in the Bible that their wives were prophetesses, okay? But most of the other ones, they were not. So it's not. And then there are people who's like Joyce Meyer's husband does not preach, but Joyce Meyer preaches. And you see their arrangement is perfectly godly, okay? Now, back to my issue. So I just used to advise my wife, I said, listen. I said, just go there. Just remember one of those things that we have discussed. something that you've learned that has blessed you tremendously, how it changed your life, go there and tell the story. If you do like that, people will be tremendously blessed. If you sit down and start saying, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, then from there you go to Revelation chapter 8, by the time halfway through, half of the congregation will be asleep. They will be, because there will be no life in what you are saying. And that's why many of us can't preach. Come and tell people, the soul that sin it, he shall die. If you go to hellfire, it's hot inside there. Nobody is listening to you. Honestly, they're not angry with you. But the fact is that they are not saying anything. You are not saying anything. You go and cram Rehan Bonnke. There's plenty of soap in this world. Many people are still dirty. When Rehan Bonnke says it, the homonkey says it in a context that's powered by the Holy Spirit. You may not have that. So I tell people, you want to preach? Don't go and tell. And another reason why people can't preach is that you have nothing to preach in that. You get to the office, when they don't pay salaries on time, you and the Muslim whine the same level. In fact, your own level is higher because after all, you sowed the seed from the previous one. It should have yielded by now. So you have something to be angry about. You're angry with God. You're angry with your employer. And you're angry with God. Why? Employer didn't pay on time. Two, God has not multiplied your seed. So the Muslim has only one, or the unbeliever has only one person he's angry with. That's the employer. You have two sets of issues. So you went stronger than the other fellows. You have nothing to preach. A preacher has something that is a witness. Is witnessing about the goodness of God. Witnessing about the forgiveness of sins. Witnessing about when everybody say, everybody run up and down, what are we going to do? I say, well, why are you not bothered? Now that's where I'm going. You explain, don't be quiet. Explain the reason why you are not bothered. And maybe you have money saved up. See, the only savings I have is in heaven. Tell them that, what do you mean in heaven? Good opportunity. Explain it. Jesus said, don't lay up your treasure. Now, when people see you living the life of a Christian, it's easier for you to be a witness to them. See, all those people that your neighbors know that you're a jaguda. You know what they call jaguda? You're a criminal. That's why you can't preach in your neighborhood. You have to travel. So a lot of people, that's it. The neighbors know. What does he say? Say, this one too is preaching. Now, my emphasis here is talking about being a witness for Christ, okay? It's not about going to cram scriptures. I was listening that message I was listening to. David Paulson said, that you will never see Paul quote the scriptures for Gentiles. Never. That Paul is preaching to Gentiles. He will never quote the scriptures. Why? To them, the scripture is not authority. That you only used to quote it for Jews. But for the Gentiles, he quotes their own people. Your poet said, I saw an altar to an unknown God. From there, he begins to talk to them. You go to a bar, people that have never been to church say, the Bible says, what is the Bible? But go in there and say, I used to be here all the time drinking away. I didn't have any control until somebody introduced me to the Lord Jesus Christ. Since that time, the power of bottle over my life was broken. Now I can walk past it and not think anything of it. One man who's been pretending all this while that he likes to drink will come up to me and say, are you serious? How did that happen? Come now, my guy, sit down, let's talk now. You won't know he's been looking for deliverance. All the one he's been doing, he's pretending. He's in bondage. He wants to be free. When he finds a man who was in bondage, who is now free, he will follow him. Are you getting my point? That is what it means to make disciples. That's how you introduce people to Christianity. And what I was emphasizing is that it's a matter of teaching. Remember I was saying something, that's why I went into that. That it's not everybody that has the anointing of Rehan Bonnke to gather multitudes. It's not everybody that people will leave their homes and in the evening like this to come and listen to you teach from the scriptures. However, everywhere that you have small power, you have a responsibility to shine as light. What does it mean to shine as light? One, we've talked about the salt aspect being very different. Two, making that difference must be obvious that people wonder why is it like that. And then you shine by turning many to righteousness. They begin to explain to people. One of our brothers gave me a testimony the other day. He was in his office. He saw one of his colleagues looking very worried. So, what is going on? That one said the wife was in labor. when you came to the office to quickly get something done, and it's going back again. And the labor has been ongoing for some time, and the doctor is saying this, doctor is saying that, he has to go back to the hospital, sign a consent maybe for a CS or something. We're just saying many things. So the guy said, okay, no problem. Let me pray for you. So the fellow looked at him. You know, you are used to, it's the pastors that pray. At such time, you call the pastor, do the praying. Let me pray for you. So the man said, all right, no problem. Sat down. He took his hand, pleaded for mercy with the Lord on his behalf. You know, spoke some words of prayer and told the man, go, it will be well. That guy got to the hospital. Let's make a long story short. My guy was in the office. That man came back and said, you didn't tell me you were a pastor. It's not about being a pastor. The man just, like, I tell Christians all the time, that's one thing you should try and do regularly. Offer to pray for people. Listen, go and see it. In fact, the way Jesus commanded us to preach his message is, first of all, heal the sick, raise the dead. They can talk after. You know, this is that we'll be looking for musicians to come and entertain people. Kenneth Hagin said long ago, that is when we have lost power. That church will now start doing all kinds of shows to gather people to come. He said, do you know why? They've lost power. They start teaching diet. Yes. I listened to Kenneth Hagin, he said, you know, when I saw the things that we do this in Christianity, I've been laughing. Hagin said this is maybe like 40 years ago. This is what I'm convinced about. I want to give it to you as charge. In this day and age, number one thing you should do as witnessing in your office is pray for people. Somebody comes, is crying, hey, I just heard something, what happened? And they are calling me from the village that my father said, come, let me pray. You know what? You will be surprised at the number of testimonies that you will have. The problem a lot of us have as Christians is that we are not even persuaded concerning what we are supposed to be preaching. And until we are persuaded, we cannot be effective as witnesses. Do you get my point? I'm going to bring something out here. That what the Lord told us to do was to go and make disciples. My emphasis is on the teaching aspect. He said, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you to do. And I'm saying that God has given each person some authority and opportunity. Let me combine both of them, all right? To be able to influence somebody with the practice of truth. God has given you, you are in an office, you have a circle of friends that will listen to you. That is where you start making disciples from. First, I don't want to go over that message again. We've talked about being different. It is that difference you start explaining. It is that difference you start showing to people. This is why I do things differently. That's what Christianity is. Except you are doing it differently, what are you going to explain to somebody else? You want to threaten it with heaven and hell? It's a difficult thing. The only people that believe in heaven and hell, all right, and respond to it are those who are taught as children. So they grew up in a Catholic church, an Anglican church. They have a background. They are the ones you can remind of hellfire. And they say, yes, so they told us that when we were young. So they get afraid. But people who don't have that background, you can't start teaching them from that angle. That's what I'm trying to explain. About this issue of how we shine as what? As light. And so, back to the one we read earlier. I wanted to add this one to it. So Daniel was now saying that this is our assignment as Christians to turn many to what? To righteousness. First, we are different. We are walking righteously. Then how do we turn many to righteousness? We explain. We teach. That's how you turn many to righteousness. And when we're talking about being witnesses, like when I'm trying to make an issue now, that when we say like not being ashamed of the gospel, okay? Always be bold to declare to people why you are doing what you are doing. I told you once that Pastor Paul, you told a story once when we were in Lagos. It was one of his friends. I was in church. That one of his friends went to, I think he followed him to, well, the fellow is a preacher today. And the one was telling the story. Now, how did that man give his life to Christ? One day they were in class, and boys were just being boys, like they say. Whispering, passing paper, you know, things like that, trying to cheat. And the subject was difficult for everybody. And there was this guy, one of the classmates, of course, who sat in front and refused to participate in what they were doing. And then, Of course, exam and everybody went their ways. There was somebody now invited that his friend to church, to fellowship. That one entered, who was preaching for the day. That fellow who refused to participate in what they were doing, he was one standing in front. He said that man didn't listen to what he said. He didn't hear it. He was just waiting for the man to finish preaching. So no wonder you were not cheating. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. That was the issue. Oh, no wonder. So whatever, that's okay. If you want to give your life to Christ, come forward. That guy just got up and went forward. He didn't, all he knew was that this man refused to cheat. I have now found the reason why he refused. To participate in that, decide I should give my life to Christ. Hey, I'm going to give my life to Christ. That was the day that man gave his life to Christ. That's what I'm trying to talk about. That's what I'm explaining by shining as what? As light. The emphasis this time is don't ever neglect to explain why you are doing what you are doing. That is how to be a witness. This one of practicing, what would I say when I get there? We are all born sinners. Don't worry, God will forgive us. If you don't forgive, if you don't take the forgiveness, you will die one day and go to hellfire. It's not the right way to preach. I'm not saying anything wrong with it. Do you get my point? But for an average person, that is not the right thing to do. What you are doing is just teaching principles. You see a man, maybe it's your neighbor, he and his wife, they are always quarreling and fighting. And you get involved in the matter. Settle down and teach. There's one thing about divine wisdom, especially to those who are in need. When divine wisdom comes forth, the beauty of it is almost always evident to those who are receiving it. Some may end up rejecting it. But first of all, they will see the beauty in it. There's a glory in the word of God. There's a glory in the righteousness of God. What I mean is that when you settle down, now, it's not about judging case, who is right, who is wrong. It's trying to explain. Because one of the reasons why you can't solve quarrels is that people have, how do I say it? For them, what you call right is wrong, and what you call wrong is right. So if you like, argue from now till tomorrow, you are thinking on base 10, they are thinking on base 2. And that is why, you know, your figures will never come out the same. Why? One man is thinking on base 2, the other is thinking on base 10. So when you come to that kind of situation, what do? You first teach the man the base that you are using to reason. And what I said earlier is that everybody who hears it, they may react against it afterwards because sometimes, you know, these things have consequences. You understand my point? I mean, if you accept the righteousness of God, you have to reject another form of righteousness. And that other form of righteousness may mean you don't belong in the club anymore when the boys gather. And those are the reasons why people reject the truth of God. But when it comes out, they always know that this thing is beautiful, this thing is different. What am I saying? You get into that kind of situation, you begin to show the people, listen, this is how this thing is supposed to be. This is how I practice it. This is what I have come to understand. You start teaching the man begins to appreciate the beauty in God's word. That is you being a witness. That is what it means to turn many to righteousness. Are you getting my point? Righteousness is not about peace, first of all. Righteousness is about what? Right. It's about right. And when you may have this issue to handle with somebody. Sit down and teach the person justice and peace because of the situation he's in. That is how you will witness to him concerning the kingdom of God. Take Nigeria as an example now. Many of the things we are saying about corruption and all that, you hear me say the things that I say here. Do you know an average person believes that that is the perfect thing to do? The only problem they have a lot of times is when they are the ones supposed to do it. I don't know where you're getting my point. You get to your office, when Jesus said, don't be ashamed of me before men. That's one area that you must never be ashamed. That's don't ever be afraid to be different. Because the knowledge of Christ that you have has taught you how to do things differently in life. One, always do it differently and explain. That's what I've been talking about. Explain why you are doing it differently. That's how to be a witness for Christ. You are in an office, everybody will give you money to go and do something. You come back and say, yeah. Retire the money, say, no, this one is my own. They gave us to stay in a hotel. I didn't stay in a hotel. I've gone to get a receipt. Do you understand my point? To submit, to claim my 12,000 naira for the day. While everybody is doing it, you go there and return and say, I didn't spend that money. Why? My brother was living very close by, so I stayed in his house. You know what everybody will tell you? Are you a fool? said, well, yes, in that area, I am a fool. Why are you a fool? Because a fool for in Christ is wiser than the world. Do you get my point? See, let me just say something. That's one area where many people lose the power to witness. When all those small, small, sharp deals are going on, and you join, that is how people lose the power to witness. That is, everybody has a pulpit too. Everybody has what? A pulpit. Especially if your life was one way before, it's now different. People say, you were not like this before. Me too. And that's why I say, ever since I gave my life to Christ. Now, this is what I have learned. Do you understand? The principles by which you are operating by, there's a glory, I'm trying to emphasize, on the righteousness of God. Don't ever be ashamed to explain it. Everybody says, better put this money aside because of your children's education in the future. You say, my brother, I have learned that sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. What do you mean by that? Then you begin to teach the same principles that you have learned. That's what the Bible was saying there in that Daniel chapter 12. He said that those who have what? Insight. They are the ones who will shine brightly, like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. Because of their insight, what do? They lead many to righteousness. How are we to advance the kingdom of God? Shine as light. We've talked about being salt. Light is different from salt in that salt is just there. It doesn't talk. The influence of salt is spiritual. What I mean by spiritual is that you enter into the place, they don't even see you. They don't know you are there. But your presence emits some spiritual substance into the air. A criminal comes there, and that day he starts feeling sleepy. He can't commit crimes again. They don't know you are there. But suddenly the incidence of crime in the environment drops. You haven't told anybody, don't steal. You are getting my point? Just to use as a simple example. The fire that rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah came late. You know that? Yeah, it came later than it will have come. Because Lot was delaying in leaving. And the angel said, I can't do anything until you've gone. You are making my work difficult. The angel had to drag him by the hand and remove him from that area. So you see, just by staying behind, Lot gave those people some extra hours of life. That's the influence of salt. You know, over the last few days, I traveled. I was not around last Saturday. Our brother Okemote preached here. I went to Ondo to go and minister. And then you talk to people, And because of moving around like that, you see men that love God. Are you getting what I'm saying? You see women that are committed to serving the Lord. Last year, earlier this year, when I went to Lagos, I met people. In their little corners here and there. You know, my friend, Pastor Courage in Sokoto, we talk. And he's not trying to tell you anything, just normal gist. They know that here and there are people that are committed to serving the Lord. Are you getting my point? For that reason, I said, God, see all this bua, 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 Boko Haram thing, you understand? I said, God, we don't pray. I know you have heard. I said, but that thing has no choice. It will end. It will end. In fact, the prayer I just prayed at the point, I said, Lord, when will the indignation be over? That it will not be over. That one is out of the point. It will be over. I look at the country. Here and there, you see, people try to tell you about a lot of bad things happening. But believe me, a lot of good things are happening. A lot of good things. People are serving God. People are creating progress. What I'm talking about is that, and because of their presence, I thought about over the last few days, I said this nation, it has no choice but to be good. It has no choice but to be sweet. Why am I saying this? Because of the presence of these people that I meet, these people that I hear about, I said, God will preserve the land and bless the land. In fact, I told you at the beginning that there are two messages I have in mind. This is one. The second one, maybe I'll introduce it before I go on. We just need to get our acts together, we believers. There's a crucial area where we need to labor that we are not laboring in the advancement of the gospel. That's what one. If you're around on Tuesday, I said I have a prophetic word. I thought about it. This one, that dollar hit 240 something naira to the dollar. That was just over the last few days. All right? You know, it went that bad. What is it right now? Huh? It's now 225. About 2 weeks ago, he hit 241. It was that bad. You know, my message is about to scatter. Okay, let me arrange it so it doesn't scatter too much. Then I'll come back into the thing I want to say. I want to quickly end what I was saying earlier. So what I was trying to say about that one is that, so as salt, our presence is crucial. But therefore, the kingdom, what we do as salt, that we retard evil. The evil has to come to an end. Progress will come into the land. But for the kingdom to now actively advance, we have to walk. That's the one I'm going into. And the first thing I'm trying to explain is we must be what? Witnesses. Concerning the righteousness of the kingdom of God. What we are supposed to do is to teach people, to invite them into citizenship, and then teach them what it means to be a citizen of God's kingdom. The problem is a lot of times in Christianity, we want to populate our churches. So your own is come to our church. But that's not really our assignment. Our assignment is that invite people to come into the citizenship of the kingdom of God and teach them what it means. That is the expectations of citizens. I was saying that, see this country as an example, it has no choice. It is already responding. Now, I was telling something about when the dollar crashed and all of that. I don't claim to be a prophet, but sometimes I say words that I am so sure that's what God is saying now. So they sound quite prophetic. I am convinced part of what's happened, and now, you must understand something. When God wants to deal with when he wants to move only Israel, he can cause there to be famine upon the whole land. And Israel will go to Egypt. Because of a family of a man, his 12 sons, and their children. God called for a famine upon the land. That was what the book of Psalms told us. Just so as to move Israel. When God wants to affect only you, he can affect a whole street. Just to talk to one child of God. Job had a company, you know that. There were workers there. All the workers died in one day. And they said it's a temptation for who? For Job. They did not have children. The wives were not being tempted. It was Job. David sinned. And the whole of Israel suffered. 70,000 people died because David sinned. That's why I wrote the tract, Are We All Equal Before God? The truth is that we are not. We are not. And it's in the Bible like that. It said the eyes of the Lord will jump many people in running to and fro until he gets to the one whose heart is perfect towards him. You see, we are equal. He saw Moses. Miriam said, Moses, are you the only man of God here? God said, come, let me explain something to you. I know you're a prophet. Miriam, you're a prophetess. Aaron, you said you did see something. It's true now. He said, but you were not even afraid. The rest of you, when I want to talk to you people, what do? I wait for you to sleep first. Then I appear in a dream. I'll be showing you signs. You hear thunder, I say, what hearest thou? I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Thus says the Lord. He said, no, not with Moses. Moses, I come. We sit down. We start discussing. Bring the map. You see this area? Yes, sir. You build the tabernacle from here to here. Measure this place. Make sure it's exactly this length. Do you understand? He takes notes. And when he's going, wait. Take these stones. I've written the laws on it for you. Show it to them when you get there. And the guy bows his head and goes out of the presence of God. He said, that's how I talk to him. He said, mouth to mouth, like a man talks with his friend. He said, when you see such men, be afraid. Are we still equal? Touch not my anointed, that you can touch the one that's not anointed. That's what it means. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So, listen.